Hi there, my name is Connor Pike, a writer at Siemens Digital Industry Software. In this series of podcasts, I will be joined by my co-host, Nand Kochhar, Vice President of Automotive and Transportation Industries. In each episode, Nand and I will talk with an expert guest from around Siemens about the many challenges, complexities, and exciting opportunities presented by the continued development of autonomous vehicles. Today, Nand and I are joined by Piyush Karkare, Global Director of Automotive Industry Solutions, to dive into the topic of automotive software development and how it may change as we come closer and closer to the reality of autonomous vehicles. So welcome, Piyush. Can you start by giving us a quick summary of your background and experience in the field of automotive software?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for getting me on this podcast, you and Nan. Thank you for that. Yeah, so from my background perspective, I mainly have been in the auto industry for last, I think, 29, 30 some years now. 17 some years of that has been at Ford Motor Company, mainly in the electrical and the in-vehicle software area before I joined in at Siemens about six and a half some years ago. So mainly have been in the electrical and software area for automotive. That has been my background.
So we've talked a lot about the broad trends in the automotive industry that are really affecting the ways in which vehicles are designed and developed. So Piyush, I'm curious, how have these trends affected automotive software development in particular?
Yeah, sure, sure. You know, automakers now are applying software to obviously meet all the market demands that we see today. They have found that the software enables them to make these vehicles much more smarter, more adaptive and more convenient, even more desirable, and allows the automakers to accelerate their development cycles. But obviously software, as you add more software to your vehicles, it adds a lot of complexity, in particularly the way it has to interact with the hardware that software goes onto.
That's another key point. Many of the features consumers want today, they would not be possible without software. You know, for example, some of the feature functions software helped companies implement them better, faster, more intelligently, and what have you. Consider the difference between early cruise control to current adaptive cruise control systems. For other feature functions, the software is the enabling piece. The obvious example here is advanced driver assist systems and self-driving systems, where software receives the sensor information and triggers responses in a matter of milliseconds. The result of all this is that the software content of vehicles is growing rapidly, over 15% compounded annual growth rate by many estimates. So Piyush, I'd like to get your perspective on what kind of challenges this growth of vehicle software content introduces to the automotive development lifecycle today.
Sure. If not anything, you know, it's definitely complexity, as you mentioned before. As you integrate more software into the vehicles, obviously it increases enormous amount of complexity that's coming into the vehicles. This is particularly true when, you know, software and hardware systems have to interact. You know, think about the software that you want to, you know, put on your vehicle, but you have to understand as to is the hardware enough to put that software. You know, a lot of software has to work. Most of the software, I would say, that goes on the vehicle is real-time software. So all the hardware that is on your vehicle has to be able to compensate for that real-time aspect of the software. And not only that, in terms of the computational power or performance that is needed, that if certain thing has to happen in, you know, a certain 200 milliseconds, the hardware has to be compatible for that kind of stuff. So that's how it adds a lot of hardware as well as software complexity. And also this added complexity affects the overall vehicle development process as well. In particular, it sort of highlights the siloed nature of development. You know, the more complex the system gets, it leads to more frequent and severe problems when engineering teams and disciplines synchronize their designs. It vastly increases the challenge of managing these, the vehicle development on top of including, you know, the internal teams and departments and even suppliers that are tasked with deliver components and subsystems. And because of the siloed nature, it potentially hides a lot of issues and problems, only to find out later that you have some problems and bugs to fix, as you go more towards the launch. And thus, in all, if you see it increases the overall vehicle development risk and leads to more recalls that we see nowadays that are kind of because of software, and the warranty claims and the cost to the automakers are kind of coming in because of that.
So, when talking about an AV and the software demands such a vehicle will have, how does this change the software equation for automakers?
Well, AV obviously just kind of extrapolates the complexity, right? I mean, you're thinking about, making these machines do what the humans can do, right? So obviously it increases the complexity. All systems are becoming, way more complex and sophisticated, including all the hardware that needs to go in there, the software, even the mechanical and electromechanical systems, the way they have to interact. The software specifically, the complexity is felt in several areas, including but obviously not limited to design and development, where the software systems will have to fulfill a greater number of requirements for feature functions that are going to go in there. Verification validation is a big thing, right? Compliance of the software, all the way from safety critical systems to meeting strict requirements and regulatory things for say functional safety and cybersecurity and things like that. Change management is a big deal. When these changes happen, how do you test and how do you validate these changes and cascade them to all the affected systems? Remember, the software is not working in a silo. Software is working on a hardware. The hardware is connected overall with electrical systems. Electrical systems are driving some of the mechanical components and things like that. So the cars are already out there in the world. How do you implement these changes in the software on those vehicles? You need to know as to what hardware is on it, what how it is connected, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's changing, from that perspective, an enormous amount of change happening because of AVs.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think the automotive business is complex to begin with, but I think overall, autonomous vehicle will take the complexity which we see today and just accelerate its growth to a point that's going to be unsustainable given current development and systems engineering methods. So, bottom line, automakers are going to need to look at a new way of doing things to keep on this path. Today, teams are not equipped to handle these challenges, especially as we move into the increasingly digital future. So, Piyush, what do you think are the biggest holes in current automotive software development methods?
Yeah, very interesting question. A lot of companies now are adopting what software used to do, which is more of a feature-based, process, feature-based approach to overall, to control this complexity that we've been talking about. But as you mentioned, there are many holes to this whole, approach or to the way they are getting onto this approach. And it's not even just the companies who are doing this or on a path to do this feature-based kind of approach, but even the companies who are not yet on this feature-based kind of approach. And the challenges, some of the challenges I see, some of it might be very obvious, things like scalability, right? Many companies today rely on very document-based approaches. This will not meet the scale, the challenge, the scale will not meet the challenges of an advanced, modern car, and certainly not an AV, right? Compliance for AVs is a big thing, as we mentioned earlier. Many companies have to ensure that their software development process is compliant to the ASPICE and functional safety and cybersecurity regulations. How do they do this, while the complexity is growing? Change, I mean, in our industry, change is a constant thing, right? They have to manage engineering changes as these issues arise. These issues could be very much complex, and you have to do that very efficiently. Collaboration is a big deal, especially how you share and work with suppliers, as many suppliers are involved in developing and deploying and testing, not only just the software piece of it, but also the hardware side of it, and do that in a very secure and efficient way. Another one is reuse. How do you ensure that you can reuse the functionality that is available on vehicle programs and deploy that to multiple programs? How do you maximize systemically the reuse aspect of these software features or features in general? And lastly, openness. How do you integrate many development and testing tools into a robust process? How do you do that? I mean, that's these are some of I would say challenges that come to my mind. Obviously, there are way more.
And how does digitalization help these teams fill in the holes of a traditional automotive software development? How does it help teams prepare for the future of autonomous vehicles and the complex software systems that these vehicles will require?
Yeah, so let's start at the top level. I think one of the most important things digitalization can do for software is improve the integration and collaboration between various engineering domains. Some call it a cross-domain. So software engineers can work more closely and efficiently with their counterparts in electronics, hardware, electrical electronic systems integration, and mechanical domains as well. Increased collaboration can reduce development risk by making it easier and quicker to find and resolve design issues or by avoiding these problems in the first place. Finally, this can help all domains further improve and optimize their designs with an increasingly tight time constraints as less time is spent on resolving issues during the integration of the various domains. So in other words, the continuous integration during the development process. Another important thing is that digitalization enables automakers to take a true software and systems engineering approach, we call it SSE, to the overall vehicle development process. A digitalized SSE process means that you can maintain a holistic system-level view of vehicle during its development through connected digital tools. The systems-level view includes various domains and subsystems, including software, hardware, mechanical systems, and all the others we talked about before. Some in the industry refer to this also as a model-based systems engineering as part of it. But we are emphasizing on software. So the SSE will capture product requirements, performance targets, constraints, and other information to form the product definition. These definitions and requirements are then available for all other stakeholders, which includes traditional CAD, CAE, or simulation, and even partner companies such as software suppliers. So you're engaging the entire ecosystem, bringing them at the same level. SSE is not a one-way flow of information. As simulation and tests are completed, that data can be captured to further enrich the digital twin of the vehicles. In other words, it allows you the closed loop integration process by feeding that information back and making everything better at every step of the way.
So Piyush, how can this apply to the development of vehicle software specifically?
Sure. Yeah, that's, we feel that that is a very, in demand right now kind of thing where we talk about software and systems engineering is, one of the biggest things that digitalization can do to help coordinate and orchestrate the overall software development flow. From high-level program engineering, at feature and function decomposition level, doing the trait studies to ensure that, things that you're conceptually designing, are they even feasible, setting the targets and so on and on, right? To core controls and software engineering processes. A digitalized software development flow based on SSE, like what we offer from Siemens, typically we'd like to talk about in the kind of three pillars. One is requirements and test specifications as to how we assign attributes with an integrated traceability underneath, with an online platform that manages all the workflows underneath, and test case management with requirements traceability to it. Second, about design and testing. linking requirements to models and the code that is being written or being degraded, tracking the test results and automating that testing aspect of it, and then planning for releases and status monitoring as to where the project is at. And lastly, reporting and dashboards is providing insights into the overall model development that's happening and automate those results to feedback back into the requirements and test specifications and design aspects of the overall process. So these pillars, if you want to call those, you know, create a solution that can continuously provide the right information to the right people at the right time in all phases of the development, you know, during the specification, implementation, and testing phase, while looking for models to reuse, and during the change and impact analysis. Now, viewing and managing this model information from a globally from a global platform is paramount, and that helps in the overall, you know, traceability of the relevant models, and who owns it, you know, who's managing it, you know, which people are accessing it, how are they getting reused by all involved stakeholders. All of that is then possible using this kind of approach.
So I guess the natural question is how can a company get started on this digitalization journey?
How do I get started, right? I mean, honestly, the reality is that, you know, migrating from, you know, sort of the legacy approach, if you want to call that, can be very difficult. You know, to efficiently achieve this end state of a digitalized systems approach to vehicle software development, companies really need to seek a technology partner who really understands the engineering of engineering for the controls, so mechatronics and performance engineering and systems engineering, a technology on how to effectively use simulation and data management technologies to support processes and engineering activities. And by doing so, the customers can achieve the value that they seek faster and with a reduced risk during the transition.
So Piyush, Nand, any final thoughts before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I think digitalization or digital transformation journey, you have to start in an area where you are challenged the most within your business processes, and you have to win small success in that area and then grow and expand into the other parts of the business to deliver end-to-end solution. So I think there's no cookie cutter or a one answer. It depends on customer situations, what problems they're facing, but you have to get started on that journey. So what we've been calling digitalization, or I call it a digital transformation journey, once you get started, you can truly convert the software complexity, which was the subject of today, into a competitive advantage for delivering value to your customers, whether it's in terms of cost savings, whether it's reducing the product development time, or the most important to me is the innovation that you can develop next generation of your products with a very innovative way.
So thank you guys both to Nand and Piyush for joining us today. I really appreciate your time and expertise and, you know, offering your insights on this really fascinating topic. I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in, and I hope that they enjoyed what Piyush and Nand had to say about this, about automotive software and the growing complexity we see in the industry today. Coming up, we'll be back with some more discussions on the future of autonomous vehicles and how this is changing the dynamics in the industry. So I hope that you come back and join us for those future discussions.